to another episode of Nintendo Nostalgia. It's Jacob, your host, and Ryan, my co-host. We are back. We're playing with power. And everyone, as you can tell, just from the intro, this is... Oh, maybe you can't tell. This is not an episode about Fire Emblem or Smash Brothers Melee. This is an episode about music. You probably saw by, I guess, clicking on the title, but we finally are doing a music episode. It's been a long time. These are really, every time we prepare for them, they're a lot to prepare for because there's a lot of editing, a lot of links, and a lot of timing of how we record it. But this, they're fun. They're definitely the most fun to do. The hardest, I think, to maybe, like, there's so many great options of music out there. It's hard to narrow them down. And sometimes Ryan and I, we like to shoehorn it, like, if it's just all Game Boy music or it's just all, like, the Nintendo 64 era or whatever. But this time, today, it's just literally whatever we wanted to put, whatever we found, whatever we were feeling. It could be all indie games. It could be games that came out this year. It could be dipping throughout all of Nintendo's time. But this is what this episode is about. So right off the bat, we have from Super Smash Brothers Melee a recorded version of Fire of the Fire Emblem theme. And this track, man, Ryan, I tell you what, it I selected it ironically because, you know, I'm not the biggest Fire Emblem fan, and this podcast listeners know that, but this song is nostalgic for me. I mean, at the time, Fire Emblem was cool. Before I had come to a realization if I liked RPGs or not at the time, Fire Emblem was these two Japanese specific only characters that were put in a game that was in our country. And it was mind-blowing. And this song was one of my favorite songs to fight to. I remember fighting you. I remember fighting Brad multiple times. And we would want this track to play. I'd play with this track on, like, the Zelda level, the Hyrule Temple. You know, the one that everyone loves. The biggest, one of the biggest games that and most popular levels to date. I would use that combination, and man, this song, it really does amp you up, especially if you know what you're doing in Smash Brothers. You know how to fight, and you really can just, I feel like this song helps me get into the zone, right?
Yeah.
It's beautiful, it's powerful, it's just go, 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 and
it's the feature, it's the alternate track for, you know, the Temple of Time, so, like, you know, everybody plays it, so everybody knows it.
Right, absolutely. So it's a good one for me. It's definitely nostalgic. I love it. I mean, I'm not going to dissect the song by, you know, instrument by instrument or the notes the way they're played. I just love it. It just brings me energy. And when I hear it, it makes me feel like I'm back in it's that 2001 to 2005 era of playing that game with my friends and by myself a lot. So any comments about my first pick that I brought to the table today?
First thing, like, shout out to Shogo Sakai. Excellent arrangement of this song. Bringing it to a modern era, you know, from the 16-bit, you know, world forward, and just really, really great, great pumped up battle music. They did a really good job with that. This is the Smash Brothers Melee song for me. Like, it is iconic. That is, like, the theme song. Like, in my thoughts, like, sure, the intro is all cool and stuff, but, like, this is the one that I heard the most when I played.
Very good. I love it. I loved it. And I think many of our listeners who are listening, they probably have heard it and probably feel the same way, if I'm being honest. But, okay, Ryan, well, I'm not the only one with songs here. You've brought a handful of songs, too. We're going to trade off back and forth and allow each of us to take us down a musical journey today. So, Ryan, why don't you take it away, my friend?
Thank you.
It's very dear to my heart. Artistically beautiful game. The soundtrack has this vibe to it. So I picked this song specifically because it is almost an amalgamation and it incorporates elements from the entire soundtrack all in one track. And this is one of the battle themes. It's called The Battle Against Time from the game Chris Tales. It was composed by Bat Bard. And then also the Black Screen Records, the people that, put it out on digital and vinyl and what have you. So, but yeah, Chris Tales is an amazing RPG game. It's in the vein of like Paper Mario with time button presses, with the combat and everything. And it's really beautiful. It's a really great story. The lead is a female who's dressed up in a dress but carries around a sword and has to save basically all of time in the world. And of course, there's in true RPG fashion, there's plot twists and things that happen in the game to make it go just a little bit longer, but not too long. It doesn't overstay its welcome. But this song, there's many different versions of this song throughout the game in the battle tracks, but this is the one that kind of encompasses everything throughout. So I think it's a good representation of what you can expect in this whole game. What do you think, Jacob?
I think it's really pretty. I've never heard it. I've never played Chris Tales. I mean, obviously, I know what the game is. I've seen it, but I never actually played it. I love this part that's playing right now. The strings, the up and down. I feel this wave of emotion. Like, I can imagine, is this like a fight scene?
Yeah, it's just one of the battle themes. Yep.
I can feel it. It definitely gives me an emotional feeling. And I love when video games do that with songs. Like, the song that you're playing, you feel the intensity of the fight, of what's happening. Maybe it's a specific boss fight or just a really tough battle. I mean, this is a Final Fantasy VII, but when I played that game, like, the music tracks for, like, the fights, the big fights were so... It gave me the same feeling that I'm feeling right now with this, is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Like, it really helps you kind of zone in on the fight, helps you focus more and really get into it, and... It doesn't distract me from the fight. It makes me feel, in a weird way, game focused, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So no, I think it's great. I think it's really, I think it's powerful.
Yeah.
I think that's the right word. I think it's a powerful song. I like it a lot.
Yeah. They got a lot of the sweeping melodies, and the lighter side, and they've got a lot of like kind of chimes and kind of a piano sound to it, a lot of like light and airy, but then they also have some of the driving, rocking sounds. So yeah,
right.
All right, Jacob, what do you have for us next?
Okay, let me pull her up. So this is drastically different than the song that you just played. It's an entirely different feeling, and it makes me kind of feel like a baby, like Rugrat or whatever. I don't know, maybe it's because I just have a baby in the house and I'm in new baby mode, but it's this is from Pokemon Snap. I'm going to butcher the name. Ikuko Mimori is the composer of this song, and it is... since I've been on paternity leave, I've been able to just dip back into, like I said, I played all of GoldenEye and played Pikmin 4. Another game that I played was Pokemon Snap, just out of the blue. I went back and I replayed the whole thing. I don't know if I got all the best photos you could get, but I beat the main thing, and I got all the secret signs and captured Mew with my camera. And so I got to revisit this game recently, and this is a song that... I just think it's beautiful. It's simple. It's beautiful. Again, this is a nostalgic podcast, so I tried to pick some songs that take me back to a different time. It's just really kind of amazing when you hear an old song like this, especially a simple. If you played Pokemon Snap was something that I think is a game that just kind of just came. It came and went, and it was a different take on Pokemon. That was fun. It was fun and different, and you got to see Pokemon in a 3D environment. Again, remember the 64 was the first intro to really getting Pokemon in a 3D space. And you got to see Pokemon interact in their environments and do different things, and you got to mess with them and make them respond in certain ways. And it was just a fun game. I remember playing most, I think, in the summer with at Brad Hunzinger's house, because Brad owned the game. And you know, this is a song that would come across, we'd come across, and it just takes me back again to that simpler time, elementary school days, when, you know, how strong the strongest my Pokemon team can be was my biggest worries at the time. And it's a beautiful song. I don't think there's anything groundbreaking about it, but it's something that I think is peaceful. A nice little lullaby sound song to put in the background. It's just pretty, you know. When I hear it, I think it's just pretty, and I'm a sucker for songs that sound they're simple but they're captivating in a way, and I think that's what the song does. What are your thoughts, Ryan?
You know, I definitely think that this is you know, this is a great thing that I imagine you using like playing and the like kind of like nursery music for your little one.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely. It's just really pretty, yeah. And I love the simplicity of it. It doesn't need to be too complicated. I mean, you're viewing the photo album, you're like looking through memory lanes. It makes you kind of wistful feeling, like nostalgia, looking back.
Nostalgic, yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, looking back at the past and like just enjoying everything. Yeah, it's looking over the memories of your journey. And it just very much captures that feel. And I think they did a really good job in picking that arrangement.
Me too. Well, thank you. I'm glad you liked that pick. Well, what else do you have for us? What's coming up next?
Yeah, man. So this one is a more modern game. Actually, this track just recently dropped, but I'm a big fan of Greek mythology. And so they randomly threw in this song for one of the Greek gods that you can unlock. And so, yeah, just give a little bit of a follow up for that. This is a little bit more upbeat, so.
Every fish in the sea is the one for me. From the shore to the deep, I swim so free. Fish in the sea is the one for me. From the shore to the deep, I swim so free. In the halls of Olympus, God's decree. From the coast to the reef, I rule the sea.
All right. So this song is dedicated to my boy Poseidon, ruler of the seas. Yeah, so they dropped this track this season in Fortnite. And I got Draco into Fortnite, specifically for the Lego stuff. But we also know that Disney's going to be coming to Fortnite here in a little while. So we went ahead and hopped in. I really love Greek mythology, so I started the season pass and then realized, like, oh, wait, Draco would actually really love this. And he really gravitated towards Poseidon and his cute, muscular jelly look. And then this song, he couldn't pass it up because this is all his happy, hardcore, like, heart's desire to hear this. So, like, it hit him hard in the hype and the feels for this game. And so we've been playing this together and bonding. And this song plays nonstop on the home screen or on the beginning screen for Draco. And I love here, and it gets stuck in my head, and it's so fun, so pumped up music, you know, that it's so good. What do you think, Jacob?
What the heck am I listening to is my initial reaction. It's very silly. Especially if you're listening to it the way we are. I'm getting a music video with my track. And there's a... He just looks like a goofy jelly man dancing and singing with a microphone with a smiley face and big googly eyes, what it looked like. So it's silly. I mean, it does kind of... It's not bad at all. I just think it's very goofy. Mm-hmm. And the lyrics are silly, too. But it really kind of actually takes me... Again, you talk about nostalgia. The sound, just listen to the music. This is definitely like... This is like 2003, 4, 5 era. This is like peak DDR music. Mm-hmm. I could totally see this song being in a DDR game. And going down to the... We used to go down to the Indianapolis. You and I, remember, we would go down mm-hmm. from time to time to the Indianapolis... mall, and up top in the mall there's an arcade, and there would be, I remember many times people playing DDR up there and going nuts, and the music would be blaring. This track feels like it is like was ripped from that time, and I do love that. I like that. There's just some funny and fun and nostalgic about just like corny dance beat party music for video games. So no, I think it's funny. I think it makes you smile. I smiled the whole time.
I can't not smile when I listen to it. Like That's the thing. It makes me happy, and you know, it's not necessarily like something I listen to all the time, except for it gets stuck in your head and like, you know, you want to jam to it. But it's definitely something that rallies you to get excited and dance around and just be silly.
And that's a great way.
And also, it has some of that hint of like Splatoon music sound to it. So that's why I kind of gravitate towards that as well. It just kind of gives me that nostalgic feel for Splatoon, you know. So, yeah.
I certainly like the fact that it made me smile. Again, it helps that I have a music video of this goofy jelly guy dancing around, but
that's the official.
It made me smile. It made me smile. So, and I think that is always a good thing. It's not something I'm going to be jamming to in a serious mood, but it's something I would be jamming to if I'm just goofy and want to be silly.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Very, very funny track, Ryan. I liked it. Thank you. All right. Well, let's dive into my next pick. Struggle when I do music episodes, because I want to just, if you know me, I naturally gravitate toward my top video games of all time, and they're usually the Rare Nintendo era, Rareware and Nintendo working together, and I don't know if I've used this song before for a music episode, so if I did, I'm not sorry, because I love Banjo-Kazooie. Banjo-Kazooie is my favorite video game ever, number one game of all time. I don't have to say this song is just full of nostalgia to me. And this is the area, this is the Spiral Mountain theme song composed by Grant Kirkhope. And the song in the area, if you've played the game, it just reminds me of home. I didn't live in like West Virginia mountains like our buddy Josh, you know, guys who he's helped out with our show. The old co-host, Josh, he lives in West Virginia, right? West Virginia?
Yep, you got it.
Yeah, so he's got mountains and stuff. I don't have the mountains, but like a lot of Banjo-Kazooie reminds me of my own childhood, because there's like hay fields and there's honeybees and a lot of woodland stuff. And I grew up on a farm and I was around just nature a lot like that. And it makes me think of, there's freaking vegetables, you know, that you get to fight in this area. We had gardens in my house, and it reminds me of that, you know, it reminds me again of my home and of my childhood. And Brad, because Brad Hunsinger, you'll hear Brad Hunsinger a lot. Brad Hunsinger, He had Banjo-Kazooie. He's the one who introduced it to me, and his home was more of like a woodland-like area. They had a big fenced-in backyard, and they had a lot of trees around them, and it was just very woodland. And so it was kind of like this combination of, like, I grew up on a farm, Brad's house was like this, and this game was kind of like a mixture of both of, like, my environment that I spent a lot of time in.
Yeah.
This would have been around 97, 98, 96 era. When we were playing this game and whatnot. And I just, the music's great. It's fun. It's beautiful. It makes me smile. And if you played the game, this takes you right back to that time of your childhood. The song's great. It's catchy. If you want to look up the Smash Brothers, there's a reason it's been redone for the Smash Bros. Ultimate DLC when Banjo-Kazooie came to it. It's in there. It's, in my opinion, one of the most classic Nintendo songs you'll ever hear, if you look back in their history. So, Ryan, I'm curious to hear what you have to say about one of my all-time favorite songs of all time. So, you know, be kind to one of my babies.
Yeah, definitely nostalgic. So I think my first time experiencing this song, I want to say it was the Kotlowski's house, Zach Kotlowski. I have a lot of N64 memories from that household, from Star Wars to Diddy Kong Racing to, you know, that's where I cut a lot of my N64 nostalgia before I even owned an N64. In fact, what drove me to get an N64 eventually, but I played a lot over there. This is one of those games. I remember watching it being played a couple different places, actually, that I visited. And the controls feel really good. And this is a great just intro area, so you can just, it's like, you know, it's open world sandbox type feel to it, you collect a thon, but it's definitely just like it captures what it's supposed to, which is Banjo, you know, it's got the Banjo
right
driving it, yep. And it's just iconic for platformers.
Well, like you said, it's the intro in this zone. If you've never played it, back when it was originally designed, it teaches you. You can go to each mole hill and bottles the mole. He's in different areas, and he teaches you how to play the game. And it's a fun song to have in the background while you're learning it. You know, it's fun and it's catchy. And that was a good design choice, I think, by the creators of the game to do that. It's funny you said the Kotlowskis, because I'm pretty sure my physical copy of Banjo-Kazooie today, Zach gave it to me.
Oh, awesome. That might have been the one I played then.
I'm sure it was. It's just in storage now. But
that's funny.
It's
small world.
That's what got me back. That's what kind of kicked off my nostalgia, like getting really nostalgic, because I got really nostalgic after I graduated high school, and my first real job after high school was working for the Kotlowskis at A1 Awards, their family-owned business, and Zach and I were hanging out a lot, and I remember going to his place, and he had the game, and I'm pretty sure he just gave it to me, because it's not like they were playing it and stuff, and thanks, and that's what kind of honestly kicked off this whole nostalgia hunger and eventually led to this podcast.
Yeah.
So that's kind of funny how that puzzle piece, that jiggy fits in right there.
Yeah,
so.
I see what you did there.
All righty. Well, Ryan, you're up.
All righty. This track is pulled straight from my game of the year last year, Sea of Stars. This is the daytime battle theme. It is very, very dear to my heart. I've played through this game 2 times, started a third time. You know, as soon as I beat it the first time, went through it a second time, and then I started another game. And just, I absolutely loved every bit of it. The music, the combat, everything. But this was, like, something that drives you to play, and like, you get pumped when you pull off your special combos and attacks and things. You know, Eric William Brown did an amazing job on this track, and also hit the nighttime and, you know, the other arrangements of this battle theme. But it definitely harkens back to the old days of you know, the 16-bit RPG era, and just... they did a stellar job on the entire soundtrack, but this one really stuck out to me because it was the one that we listened to over and over again, and I never got tired of it, ever. I loved the driving tracks. Beats. All right, what do you think, man?
It's fun. It's great. I listened to it, and I think Super Nintendo era, and I think Mega Man.
Yeah.
That's what I think. I can see you being Mega Man, like in like Mega Man X, and you're running across your 16-bit screen.
Yeah.
Like, does it seem like it would fit that, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. No, you hit it on the head. Like, I never would have picked up on that. But yeah, I wouldn't have been able to catch that. That's exactly the nostalgia that it hits.
It's fun hearing a song before you've actually, like, played the game or seen it, because then your imagination can kind of run wild.
Yeah.
And you can kind of make up your own scenarios in your head. And, like, that's what I did for Undertale. Like, I heard all the soundtrack to Undertale before I actually knew what the game was. Mm-hmm. And that's what the soundtrack made me buy it, you know? And just by hearing the soundtrack for here would make me want this game. Like, it was fun, and it seemed action-packed.
I will warn you, there's a couple songs in there that'll make you cry a little bit once you actually play the game. they fit really well to those moments.
That's the best. That's the best. I may have to just, like... I'm going to just go back and listen to the soundtrack.
I believe I bought this game for you, so you definitely play it once you're ready.
I think you did, yes. It's in my backlog, so you know what? I got time. I may hop on in. Great idea. Thanks for the reminder.
Yeah.
We started later today. I'll let you know. No, I liked it. It was a great pick, Ryan. Really good. Really good. Okay, so we're starting to whittle down. We got 2 more songs each of us. So let's go ahead and dive into my next track. It's like Musei Champignon. I can't say it right. I know I said it wrong. But another way you could do it is called the museum theme. This song plays in the museum in Paper Mario, the Origami King. This is curveball. This is a Switch game, you know? Mm-hmm. Something super nostalgic. But lead composers and sound designers for this game are going to be Yoshida Sakigawa, Sho Murakami, Yoshikaka Kimura, Hiroki Morishita, and Umihara Isobi. I'm sure I said them all wrong, and I'm so sorry. But those are your composers for this soundtrack. This, again, I think I'm just trying to put Ryan to sleep here. This is another beautiful song. It's just really pretty. I'm not necessarily saying this is the best representation of this song. This is like the theme for Origami King, if mm-hmm. you haven't played it. But this is one that I just so first off, you know, spoilers, the more you do in the game, you unlock a different version of this song. This is mm-hmm. like playing in the main Toad Town theme. So you hear it a lot. And the deeper and more progression you make in the game, the more a different version will pop up. Mm-hmm. And eventually you want to unlock this full version. But this is isolated. This is just in the museum. You go into the museum, any other alternate track stops, and it pretty much just breaks it all down to the basic notes, and you just hear it in this simple piano, beautiful form. And I just think it's beautiful. It's on a lullaby playlist that I have made for myself and my kids, and it's, again, it's just like that Pokemon track. It's something I found really peaceful, really pretty and beautiful, and simple, and just kind of like pause all of life and just listen to the sound of music.
Yeah,
and I think it's great.
Yes,
this game, Origami King, it might not play as good as Paper Mario Thousand Year Door. It's not an RPG, but it is probably the best. It's probably the best Paper Mario game they have made since then. And it's beautiful. And the soundtrack is just, it's just one of those games where it's like, why is this soundtrack so good? So freaking good. Like, Nintendo is very weird. Like, they did that with Yoshi's Woolly World too. Like, Yoshi's Woolly World and the Wii U, the soundtrack is just like, whoa, this is super good. And then they'll release Crafted World, and it sounds like a little kid in a preschool made it. And it's just like, I don't know why they like have these one-offs, but this is one of those games where it's like, wow, this is, just go listen to it. Listen to every track on it, and you'll be blown away. It's really, really, really good. So I'm talking a lot here. Ryan, you tell me what you think of this song.
I really like it. I did start to nod off there, you know, in the middle, you know, very lullaby-ish. but yeah, I love the pretty, pretty pianos, and I love it when they take a good track in a game and make something like really, really slow and moving. And that's you know, perhaps part of what I'm talking about with the last, you know, the Sea of Stars, where I was mentioning there was a couple of songs that make you cry, where one of the main themes plays at a slower pace, and you just like want to cry when you know what actually happens. Ooh, so
that was the best.
A tearjerker for sure.
Is the best.
You know, that's,
love it.
I love it when they take that and make it just so peaceful and serene. Excellent, excellent track.
Thank you, man. You're making me want to go to play Chris Tales now. Seriously. Want an experience like that. All right, Ryan, go ahead. You have the floor again.
All right. A little bit of preface on this. So this is actually future nostalgia. This is a track that is not currently in a game. At least not this version. So this is the acoustic version of a song, and Neo, The World Ends With You, that what? Recently released. But I love Mas Kimura, the vocalist here. I love his work and the sound of his voice. And so like that comes through in here in an acoustic song where he's already pretty emotional in a rocking song, but then this goes to a different level and an emotion. I'm just really, really excited to show this to everybody. The reason I say it's a future nostalgia is, usually they do final remixes on games like these, like The World Ends With You got a couple of different mixes and they put new tracks in it. And undoubtedly, this is going to end up in Neo, The World Ends With You final remix as a track. So so you guys can get a preview of what that's going to be when that game comes out. All right, let's get ready.
Pounding at these prison walls inside my mind, struggling to break free, but I realize I'm stuck here, shackled by this insecurity that tells me I can't do what you're expecting. Maxing of me every night.
Next part is really powerful.
Take a look at me. I know I'm not the perfect for you. Want me to
sweeping sounds and the emotion he puts into that. It gives me chills.
It's room to breathe because it's precious.
On a whole other level from the Rocky original version, and I remember they did a preview of this on YouTube before the album came out, the acoustic album came out, and like I've listened to this at least 100 times, if not more. It's so pretty, and I love the theme, and it ends off with like my world ends with me, and it ties in like the theme of the game, and just being frustrated with people trying to tell you who to be and how to act, and just how to like break free of all that and be yourself and like be in your own world, just trying to unload all this stuff from the past and just become, find out who you are really, which is a very emotional piece, and it hits me in the feels. What do you think, man?
It's the emotional movement song. I mean, you can hear it in the singing. I mean, lyric songs for me, like actual with like voices in video games, they're kind of hit or miss. Sometimes I think they're cheesy. Like for example, I think Smash Bros. Ultimate theme song, I think it's really held back because they chose to go with vocals, and I wish that it was just music. This song, especially for the game, you know, how the game plays and the narrative behind it, I think this fits it well, and I think it's done well. I mean, the game's like an anime. It's a video game anime, basically, and I think it's pretty, it's beautiful, it's powerful. I can hear the emotion in the lyrics. It suits it well. They did it well with this one, and it's cool that it's not even out yet. I mean, that's a curveball for you there, Ryan. But especially, I'm sure once you play the game, you can even connect more to this song.
Mm-hmm. It's such a great soundtrack in of itself, and then the acoustic soundtrack came out and has a few select songs that are in acoustic that are just really, really beautiful, and all the artists that put into that did a really great job. The people that did this also did another track that's going to be coming up here soon. They composed that track as well. So Square Enix has their own band, they make tracks for some of these games like this, like Final Fantasy games, and then of course, you know, The World Ends With You and stuff. So they make these, and so then they get together later and do acoustic versions, and they perform their own songs, but they're kind of in-house in Sony. So it's kind of cool to see like these artists to dedicate their music to these projects that Sony does, and you know, it's really cool that they put time and effort into these, and still like they're a legitimate band you can go listen to. Like I'd love to go, you know, sit in on one of their concerts someday. But yeah, it's really cool to know that they put a lot of labor of love into these tracks, and you can definitely see it in the games that you play and hear them, especially like, you know, just namely like Final Fantasy VII Crisis Core. They do some stuff in there, and they have like, they put lyrics to things that don't have lyrics in the games, and they do some stuff outside the scenes of the actual game that help enrich the experience multimedia.
Yeah, it's good. I think that's really cool, and I love that they're able to I like that they're a real band. I think that's gives them more validity to want to go listen to them and their other stuff as well too, and to make you an actual fan of the artist instead of just being like, oh, a fan of the game. Like you know what I mean? Like if you like the artist itself, you may even appreciate the song more and connect it more, mostly to the experience you're having with the game. So great pick, Ryan. Definitely a different tone and pace of what you've been throwing at us. And as a matter of fact, we're coming up to my final track now. This is my last track that I have chosen for this episode, and it is very different from any of the other tracks that I have picked. Let's dive in. Donkey Kong Land, Treetop Tumble, Donkey Kong Land 3, my bad, I'm sorry, Donkey Kong, yeah, this is a serious tone, right? Right, Ryan?
Yeah.
This is a lot different than what I have picked. This was composed by Evelyn Fisher, and Evelyn Fisher originally did, so the first Donkey Kong Country game, a lot of people think, like, David Wise did it. David Wise and Evelyn Fisher worked on it together. I believe there was a third composer as well, too. But for this, she made this song. So this is not David Wise. But this is, as a matter of fact, so obviously, if you don't know, the land games and the country games, they're pretty much the same thing. It's just the land is the Game Boy version of it. And Land 3, though, is... It's not, like, Country 2 and Land 2 are, like, literally direct same ports of the same thing. But Donkey Kong Land 1, Donkey Kong Land 3 actually have different stories than the Country games. So,
okay.
They're similar tracks, but a little bit different. It's the same music, Game Boy-wise,
yeah.
But it has a different plot. I had originally heard the song first on the Super Nintendo version for Country, and then I heard this, and this is better. I think this is, I don't know, it's the way that this Game Boy track, the sounds that it gives off, the soundtrack, the beeps and the boops, I think it's menacing. I think it gives me the serious tone. It gets me focused. It gets me on a serious track, you know. I mean, it sounds intense.
Yeah.
It sounds like this is not an easy level, and that there's danger afloat. And I just like the way it hits. I love when it, like, everything gets going. It's like do-do-do-do-dun, and there's like this background note that's just like being humming in the background. I think it just gives so much intensity. It makes the hairs on the back of my neck stand up. I think it's great. I wanted to bring it. I don't think I brought this soundtrack, this track, to any of our episodes. So I wanted to throw it in here and change it up. Game Boy game. We haven't done any Game Boy this episode. So what do you think of this track, Ryan?
I like it a lot. I actually kind of want to go back and play this game. I have my suspension of disbelief kind of broken just by the concept of this game with the baby monkey. And, like, I heard he was even more clunky than Donkey Kong was. And as a kid, I hated playing as Donkey Kong because of how slow he was, or how, like, you know, he's a powerhouse, but he was just slower. I like playing as Diddy Kong. So, like, you know, I love that Dixie Kong's in it. It's one of my favorite, you know, ways to traverse those games. But, you know, I didn't like the idea of having, like, a monkey, a kid child monkey that was, like, kind of... Well, not very smart because, you know, just a baby, and like going through these crazy adventures and stuff. I was like, it just kind of didn't quite seem plausible to me. It seemed crazy, you know. But you know, I've matured enough since then that I could probably stand to play these games. But I think I'd want to start with the land game first. I've got a lot of nostalgia for two, on Donkey Kong Land 2 on the Game Boy. It was one of my first Game Boy game. So that's what I got with my black Game Boy Pocket one Christmas. Mm. I definitely have nostalgia for that. So I definitely want to pick up this one game and play it.
You know, I mean, those games, like, I think it's really cool to hear an alternative version of a song. It's not like a remix. It's just, you know, like, even Country 2 is one of my favorite video games of all time. And especially the soundtrack, I'd argue that my top three of best video game soundtracks ever made. And hearing those versions in a Game Boy setting, it gives it a different spin and it can give it a different life. There's a song in that one too where I specifically like the way it sounds better in Game Boy form than I did on the Super Nintendo.
I feel that way in a lot of ways.
And I don't know why. It's like, I don't know, hearing a saxophone play a note pattern and then hearing it on a guitar with an awesome distortion. It can give you two different feelings, two different vibes. That's just the difference of just different instruments. But that's why I chose this song. I thought it was powerful. I thought it was unique. I thought it was cool. And I don't think many people have heard this song. I think, unfortunately, Donkey Kong Land 3 was a game maybe that was slept on a lot back in the mid to late 90s. I didn't have it, unfortunately, but this definitely would have fallen in the pipeline because at that time I was... all I had was a Game Boy, so this would have been a game that I potentially could have picked up back in the day.
Yeah,
it came out October, oh man, it would have been right on my birthday too. Came around October 27th, 1997.
And this one was late to the Game Boy era. I think the next they were moving on, so like
they were.
So like it was missed by a lot of people.
This is Pokemon high season as well too.
Yeah.
Pokemon games were at this point, like, the Game Boy was on its last legs. Sorry, we're not in the Game Boy episode, but it was on its last legs, and then Pokemon came out, and all of a sudden, it just breathed all this new life into a system that was almost dead. Mm-hmm. And then everyone was getting Game Boys, and then that was... So, yeah, many people were not focused on Donkey Kong at this time, unfortunately. This was kind of the end, actually. We had a whole Donkey Kong Country, Donkey Kong Land... Donkey Kong Country 2, Donkey Kong Land 2. Like, they were like every other year we were getting Country and Land. And this was like the very last game of that seasoned era that we would never, ever get back again. You know, and what the heck, it's been like, hasn't it been like 10 years? Tropical Freeze, yeah, you're right. Came out, that was 2014 for the Wii U. So it's 10 years anniversary since that game came out. 10 freaking years, and we were getting them every other year back then. So
power of rare.
So yeah. You can say it's very rare. So, well, that's all my picks. Ryan, why don't you just take us away, my friend, to our final track to end off this wonderful episode that we've been doing together.
Yeah, I picked another emotional one. And this hits emotional for both Jacob and I because we played through this recently. And and this is one from that band I was talking about, the Death March, Square Enix in-house band, that they put the lyrics to it later. But this is the one without the lyrics. It's got the basically whole end scene. It has Zack talking, spoilers, Crisis Core, and he's getting ready to go into this final fight. And it's just really, really moving and emotional. So let's get into it.
Boy, oh boy. The price of freedom is steep. Embrace your dreams. And whatever happens, protect your honor.
As soldier! Come and get it!
Mm-hmm.
So as this song is playing, it's going through flashbacks of the journey that you've taken. And at this point, Cloud is completely incapacitated, really, with the sickness, poisoning. And, you know, Zach goes to fight for him and save his life and go up against insurmountable odds. You know, you can just keep playing this over and over and over again, this final fight scene. Basically, you have to lose to end the game, which is, it's kind of unique for a game, where, like, that is the ending. And, you know, I'm really excited because I hear rumors of this character in this game. After many years, they've errated things to make it so that he could possibly be alive still, which actually makes it a little bit more tragic because of characters in Final Fantasy VII and stuff. And you know, like, just overall, like, it's a really emotional scene watching his fall and passing on the mantle to Cloud. And it's just, it's what started off the whole of Final Fantasy VII, and I think they did a phenomenal job with it. And this song is just, it's simple, with some, like, rock and guitar backings here and there. But, and if you listen to the music, with the one with the track with the lyrics, it's so good. But this one is the scene. This is the one, like, stripping out the lyrics, like, you just feel the emotion in the scene, and it doesn't distract you with the lyrics. So I think this one is the one that was the one better to bring to this. And hear how this end scene plays out. It's so pretty. Wow, those rocking guitars.
Yeah, it's... it's, makes you teary-eyed, especially if you've been through the journey. Now, if our listeners, if you've never played this game, probably have no idea what we're talking about, and it's not hitting you the same way, but it's, it's a special game. I mean... I really enjoyed Final Fantasy Crisis Core, and that is recent, and it's still fresh in my mind. With the 7 remake and then Rebirth out now, and I need to go get Rebirth, but it's beautiful. I mean, the Final Fantasy games, especially 7 and all of them, they're a cinematic adventure. It's not just a video game. It is a narrative, a movie that's playing out, and by hearing this song and putting
the price of freedom is
putting
sweet.
You can't really put into words. Like, the song itself is not on its own, it's not necessarily, like, going to be like, okay, you know, like, super special. But when you've been down the journey and you've seen the path that this character's gone through, and may I add, I don't know if I've said on this show, but the main character from Crisis Core is Zach, and he's a character that,
whatever happens,
quite frankly, he's
your honor.
He's one of my favorite video game, not just video game. He's one of my favorite characters of all time now. Like, I played that game. He's right next to Goku. Mm-hmm. And if you know me, Goku's been my favorite character and most motivational character since I was a child, and an inspirational to me. I hold those characters very dear to my heart. It's not just a show that I liked and been nostalgic for. They're characters that I relate to and try to apply their character, them as a character, into my own self and how I carry myself. And for a game that's old and got remade and came out on Switch just a couple of years ago, and I just played it literally like in January, and for someone to just do that out of nowhere says a lot. The character of Zach, I think, is by far one of the greatest characters ever created. And that's not just in video games. I'm talking combined animation, combined movies, anything. I think he is. Any book, I think he's right up there. If you don't know who he is, you need to go play this game and you need to learn who this character is and just see who he is and how he is. Mm-hmm. And then, yeah, the impact of the ending of this game to where Ryan said you have to die. I mean... it sucks because it's like this dude doesn't deserve to die, and he's the only one who deserved. He's the only one in that whole story that deserved a better ending.
Yeah,
and it gets robbed from him, and he's still like, it gets robbed from him, and he's still okay. Like, he's like. he's okay with accepting his fate.
Yeah.
He's very selfless.
Legacy.
What we as humans are failed to do time and time again, not be selfish. And this character is selfless, and it shows that. So, well, Ryan, that's a great song to bring to the end here, and it'll be playing as we outro here on the show. And Ryan, if you want to just tell everybody where they can find us real quick, and we'll wrap this one up.
Sure thing, man. You can always find us on Apple Podcasts, YouTube Music at Nintendo NOSIN. On Spotify, Amazon, and Pandora podcasts. You can find us on Facebook at Nintendo NOS, on TikTok at Nintendo underscore NOS, on X Twitter at Nintendo underscore NOS, Instagram at Nintendo NOSIN, Gmail, Nintendo NostalgiaIN at gmail.com. You can also give us a call on our nostalgia hotline, share your memories, and show us some love at 317-969-5690. Guys, that brings us to the end of the episode. Thanks so much for listening, and we will catch you next time. Later, Preston.
The price of freedom is steep. Embrace your dreams. And whatever happens, protect your honor.
As soldier! Come and get it!